I'm Laura Vogt, the Associate Director of Marketing and Communications in the College of Engineering. This week on the Not-So-Secret Guide to Being a Berkeley Engineer, I'm excited to welcome back Tyshawn Rogers to introduce us to the Berkeley Certificate for Design Innovation, or BCDI. Hi, Tyshawn. Thank you so much for being here today.
Hi. How are you? Glad to be here.
It's been a couple years since you were here to tell us about the BCDI, and I thought it was a good time to invite you back and tell our new students about the programming. So let's start with learning more about you. Tell us more about yourself and your role at UC Berkeley.
Yes, so my role at Berkeley is I'm a student services advisor, and I work at the Jacobs Institute for Design and Innovation. I am also the student services advisor for the Berkeley Certificate for Design and Innovation. And in both programs, we try to cater towards students who have interest in design education, and we can allow for students to sort of take courses, to learn new skills, do a number of different trainings. But my primary job at Jacobs is really scheduling enrollment. And then for the Berkeley Certificate in Design Innovation, I administer that program. I work with students to help them along and fulfill the course requirements. And that's what I do presently. I had a stint in the history department before I came over to Jacobs and the Berkeley Certificate in Design Innovation. And my background is generally in humanities.
Excellent. I know so much about design is not necessarily engineering focused. It's a really interdisciplinary program in general. So it's great that you're coming with a different background.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And thank you so much again for being here today. I really appreciate your time. So let's start with the basics of what is the Berkeley Certificate for Design Innovation and how does it relate to the Jacobs Institute for Design Innovation?
Okay. So the basics of the program essentially sort of emerged out of sort of mechanical engineering instructors sort of thinking about ways to sort of innovate and sort of change the pedagogy of engineering in certain ways to incorporate more human-centered design and design methodology into the curriculum. And out of this came a broader campus-wide sort of situation where you had the deans of four colleges sort of invest into a program that was meant to introduce students across the campus to multidisciplinary design. And so the program was launched in 2017, and it was launched by the deans of the four schools that are involved. That would be the College of Engineering, College of Environmental Design, that would be School of Business, Haas, and the Letters of Science, Arts and Humanities Division. And so the bulk of the courses, all sort of the initial courses emerged from those four colleges. And those courses were sort of chosen based on their engagement with a certain type of pedagogy that taught human-centered design methods and design methodology. So that was the primary focus. That was how it emerged. And hopefully that influence of teaching has spread into other courses around the campus. And you'll see that, you'll see a number of those sort of methods taught in classes more broadly now, and engineers have a lot more communication when it comes to that throughout their other classes. So that's how it initially launched. The program consists of me as the student services advisor, and we also have an academic board that has a professor from each of the supporting colleges. So Eric Paulos from EECS represents COE, Sarah Beckman from Haas, Kristen Whistle represents Letters and Science, Arts and Humanities Division. She's a film professor. And Simon Schletzler represents CED, and he's an architecture professor. So with that, we review courses for addition, and we sort of set the agenda and any new sort of developments that we are sort of wrestling with for the program to extend it out and serve the general undergraduate community.
So when you talk about design innovation, what does that mean?
So When we speak of design innovation, we sort of see design sort of like as an intersection between the sort of two major components, which would be naturally design methods and then sort of technological innovation. And so this intersection allows for us to sort of link these new technologies that you learn through a number of different courses here, whether that's introductory hands-on courses or theoretical engineering courses. It allows us to link those new technologies with the human experience in a way that sort of like centers people. And so, you know, that's sort of the whole purpose of human-centered design. And it allows for people to be at the center of that creation process and allows engineers essentially and students in general to be better designers and more effective designers. And I would say, just in adding on to that, that the way the certificate works is that the courses that we do offer through the certificate, most of them are pretty hands-on in a lot of ways. And so in that way, we engage with Jacobs physically as a resource, whether that's through their active learning classrooms that are designed with design teaching in mind. So you'll have whiteboards, you'll have, you know, sort of a bunch of materials to be able to, you know, rapidly prototype. You'll have movable tables and stuff like that and power tables. So you can break off into groups and come back together, and the classroom ultimately operates like a design team, or is essentially allows for design teams to sort of operate like they would in the real world. So so there's a lot of intersection between Jacobs and the certificate program, and we can go into that a little bit more.
And so why is the BCDI something that students should want to pursue? Why are they seeking this out?
So students, there's a couple of ways why students are sort of seeking it out. You'll have students who have already explored design in one form or fashion before they've arrived at Berkeley. You have students who are at Berkeley who happen to take a course and then their interest was piqued and they decide to explore a little bit further. Then you have students who want to fully engage in design work once they leave Berkeley. And I would say the program is open for and can serve all those student needs. Ultimately, students in general, I think it's good to have students from multidisciplinary backgrounds involved in design, because ultimately design touches all of our lives. And whether you're political economy or your EECS, we're going to need perspectives of people from all types of disciplines to design a future that works for the populace. And so students can engage in a number of different ways. It can be pretty streamlined and straightforward. Like a student may want to be a user experience designer, and then they can take a suite of courses that offers them an experience that allows for them to do a lot of physical design work and present a portfolio that shows essentially professional work and speaks directly to working in that industry. To students who want to sort of explore a number of different sort of design methodologies and subject matters, whether that's human computer design or physical product design, it allows for students who just want to sort of broaden their horizons when it comes to design. And so there's a lot of intersections and different entry points for students in general, but ultimately students should want to pursue it to sort of gain to gain a sense of purpose in what they do pursue and when they do put their skills to work on.
So does the BCDI have separate tracks that you could choose from as you're pursuing it, or is it one like you have to hit just different sections and when you're choosing your courses?
Yeah, that's a good question. So we, the academic committee, we actually sort of wrestled with this for a minute, and we didn't want to silo off different tracks for students and have them choose and fulfill the need to choose. But students are naturally sort of choosing certain tracks. They sort of work themselves out in a certain way. So we allow for it to be open. We don't list them or break them off into different tracks, but naturally students will, you know, if they're a little bit more hyper-focused on what they wanna pursue, they will find a number of different courses that would allow for them to pursue that. And then like if there's issues with course availability or something like that, then they work with me to sort of figure out other options and stuff like that along the way. But usually the suite of courses, and then our flexibility allows for students to, you know, pursue what they would like to pursue specifically.
And I know not all the courses are offered solely by the College of Engineering, but are the courses for the BCDI mostly done in Jacobs Hall?
I would say a good, maybe 50 to 60% are offered in Jacobs Hall. So definitely a good number of courses, whether it's the lecture and the labs, or whether, you know, we also have courses that offer just the labs in the building, because they'll be doing a lot more physical interaction during the labs. So in some form or fashion, if you're taking one of the courses that are part of the program, you're probably in the building some form or fashion, like 75% of the time, as far as the courses are concerned. There are courses that do operate outside the building in different spaces. Like we do offer, as part of the certificate, some theater courses and some courses in CED that would naturally be housed in their buildings, so.
And are a lot of, would you say that most of the classes are like hands-on experiences where you're working in a group and starting with an idea and creating something, or?
Yes, absolutely. So if you're a student who, let's say, is in engineering and you're looking to sort of have a hands-on experience versus some, you know, working through some of the theoretical sort of teachings, et cetera, and some of the basics like the maths that you have to take, the CS courses you may have to take, et cetera. We have a number of different hands-on courses that you can engage with. At Jacobs, they develop the design innovation courses, which are officially a part of the College of Engineering, but they are multidisciplinary courses that are open to students from across the campus. And so those courses are designed with hands-on teamwork activities in mind, with also final projects that you present at the end. And at Jacobs, they also have like a design showcase at the end where you will be presenting your designs ultimately. But you do sort of work through that sort of design framework in these classes and the majority of classes.
Is there any requirements as to how far into your studies you need to be before you can start pursuing the certificate?
No. Ideally, the certificate is set up for a student who doesn't know about design, and they come to campus as a freshman, and they become interested in through a city, meet me at Calpalooza, or they hear about a decal at the decal showcase and stuff like that. So it's sort of meant as a way for like a freshman to take like our first sort of grouping of courses, which would be like design foundations, to be introduced to design through whatever discipline they would like to be introduced to it from. And once they take that course, they have an idea of what design broadly means and the sort of interactions and activities involved, and then they can sort of choose from there. And so ideally it will work like maybe like, you know, one class per year as you sort of learn what you want to sort of do and pursue next. And it allows for, you know, it's not that heavy of a load to sort of complete in conjunction with your normal academic track.
You're kind of almost answering the next question of how many classes are you having to take to do this, and how do you fit it into your schedule?
Yeah, so sorry
about that. But, that's good. It's a good transition.
So ultimately there are four courses you need to take, and we have three categories of courses. So the design foundations are our smallest group of courses, but they are, we have a number of courses in each sort of design area and from each school that sponsors the program. So you can learn about design from College of Engineering, I mean, of environmental design perspective, or you can learn about it from a college engineering perspective, from a Haas perspective, or from an arts and humanities perspective. And that means you can take like intro to visual thinking under Art 8, or you can take something like design methodology, which is a design innovation course that is essentially in college engineering courses. So you can choose from there and then decide where you want to go as you pursue further courses. We also have a grouping of courses called Design Skills. In that grouping of courses, the courses are more focused on gaining sort of tangible skill sets. So you'll have courses in like 3D visualization, you'll have courses in prototyping and fabrication, courses in, we have a course creative programming and electronics. So it sort of runs the gamut of technical courses that are in a lot of these courses are open to students from all types of backgrounds. So the design innovation courses specifically are geared towards students from any academic background to participate. So you can learn sort of basic physical product design through a course like Prototyping and Fabrication Design Innovation 22. Even if you have no technical background, you can see sort of how the sausage is made in some ways, or at least know like what you know, you would need from like your mechanical engineering team or your electrical engineering team as to how to put together a physical product that let's say is controlled through Bluetooth technology. So yeah, and then we have a final level of courses called Advanced Design, which sort of take the skill sets that you've learned and the methodological approaches that you've learned and sort of combine it to take you to a full iterative design process and sort of solve like really difficult problems with products. So that's ideally how it should work. And then hopefully like if you're pursuing design, then you have courses that line up specifically for what area of design you're pursuing.
Oh, I really like that you've got so many choices and that you're not bottlenecked into one specific thing.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
And so can you share with us one or two of your favorite experiences of working with this program?
So I would say, I think I kind of touched on this, but so the best part about it would be like, let's say my first sort of tabling at Calipalooza, where you're meeting a ton of freshmen who are coming in and we're at the table and we have a bunch of devices and doohickeys sort of going at our table and students are stopping by and saying, oh, what's that? And you're like, oh, this was 3D printed at Jacobs and da-da, you can take this class. And so you introduce students who just came into, just came to Berkeley and are just interested in what they see and how could they be a part of it. And then you tell them about stuff, you hand them some flyers and stuff like that, and then you see them show up. And then next semester you see them like join a club, a design focus club, or take a decal. Then next, you know, you see them participating in courses and they're at a design showcase showing off a final product. And just seeing students sort of go from the point where I met them, where they had just a general interest in stuff that just looked cool, to actually like being a part of like grant programs and scaling up projects and working in teams and, you know, being engaged with, you know, a number of different resources at Jacobs to sort of really expand projects and try to solve societal issues or local community issues. That is probably the best part of the process, to see that.
Do the classes ever build on each other? So you could start a project in one class and then continue working on it towards the end?
Yes, so we do have a couple of cases where that works out. So in design innovation, we had a course called Global Product Development. This course ran into some issues, but essentially, the way the course was set up, it was in our advanced design category, but you would have to apply to the course. And you would apply with either a project you worked on with a team in another course, or maybe something you were doing independently, but you could take a, let's say, a project you were working on in some other course, let's say any course that's a part of the let's say intro to product development, and you could take that project and apply to this course. And what you would do in global product development, it was taught in conjunction with another class in Hong Kong. And then at spring break, they would go to Hong Kong to explore like manufacturing plants and stuff like that. They would also go into mainland China. And as you can see, obviously, we've run into issues, geopolitical issues that just sort of slowed that process down. That is sort of in flux. But that was one class where you can, was a direct feeder class that you had to apply and bring projects from other courses and stuff like that into it to participate. But it was essentially sort of really expanding and looking at how do you scale up on a global scale with a project, whether you pursue sort of like an incubation period where you're looking for funding for, you know, a year or two to sort of really work on a project and scale it up. We've had some courses like that. There are some other courses that feed into each other. So if you're like an ME student and you're interested in like sort of assistive technology, some of the courses that are part of our certificate, like Design the Human Body, which is a mechanical engineering course, can feed into other courses that we have on the list. So yeah, it all depends on like what you're interested in.
And what's the best place for students to learn more about the BCDI?
Yes, so as far as just how it functions, like how do you sign up and stuff like that, the best place to go is bcdi.berkeley.edu. In general, if you have any questions about the program, you can email me at trogers, T-R-O-G-E-R-S, at berkeley.edu, and I can answer all your questions about the program.
And is there anything else that we haven't talked about that you want to add?
Let's see. So I would say also for students who are looking for ways to engage right now, who are interested in design and aren't sure how to sort of feel like they're on hold because of the pandemic, et cetera, Jacobs has developed a number of different tools for you to still be able to engage in some hands-on activity in some ways. So, you know, beyond the courses that we're offering, we also have a modified version of our makerspace where you can, if you're a part of a course that's affiliated with Jacobs, you can submit files for prototyping. So if you want to, you know, have things laser cutted or 3D printed, or if you want to use our metal laser cutters, you can submit jobs to our makerspace and have those done. And you can either come and pick up or we can ship. So we still have a number of different resources for you. We have virtual workshops that will be offered throughout the semester on a number of different technical issues. So whether that's 3D visualization design, we have a number of different workshops coming up in there. Constantly, new ones are constantly propping up. And if there's something that you're interested in learning from like our design specialists, you can also reach out to them and suggest them workshops for anything specific that you're interested in. We also have features as far as new instructional videos on how to use certain machines. So you can still prep yourself for when, like let's say, Jacobs Hall opens and the makerspaces across the campus opens. We still have like our online trainings available for you. So please go to Jacobs Institute website and check out all the resources that are still available to you right now. That's
what I would. Awesome. Well, Tyshawn, thank you so much for coming on the podcast and telling us about the BCDI and how our students can pursue it and learn more about design innovation. I appreciate you.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate it. No problem.
And thank you to everyone for checking out the Not So Secret Guide to Being a Berkeley Engineer. I look forward to podcasting with you next week.